Hi, this is Dan Sullivan, and this is the next episode of Game Changer Jumps with my partner, Steve Crine from Manhattan, coming to us from Manhattan. I'm in Toronto today. Steve, I've just loved the previous episodes where we've gone through your scorecard for startup health, and this is the buy-in that people have to have. Your scorecard and the mindsets. This is the buy-in that you have to see in someone else, or you're not even interested in talking to them.
Yeah, you know, it's actually been fascinating as we've gathered more data about what works and what doesn't work. And whenever we've made excuses, if you will, for certain mindsets missing, we've either come to regret it because we shouldn't have kind of looked the other way, so to speak, or I think we discovered that sometimes just the ambition to have the mindset can be a pretty powerful thing to expose in people, which is they might not embody the mindset, but they desperately want to.
They're aspiring. They have an aspiration.
Yeah. And so we reviewed the first four mindsets for the health transformer, the long-term commitment, the supportive relationships, the quarterly and weekly rhythm, and the confidently ambitious as, you know, if you don't really have the ambition to be all in and you don't surround yourself with supportive people and you don't recalibrate every quarter and you really aren't growing your confidence and ambition, then I want to say that I don't think the rest of the scorecard matters. Mm-hmm. But if you do, and again, going back to either have it or have the ambition, then as you get to the second half of the scorecard, it's fascinating because it's actually really a reflection and a view of how you think about yourself in a way that I think is incredibly important to being successful as an entrepreneur long term. And the fifth mindset directly talks to that because it's about self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Self-awareness, you know, plays out in a lot of different ways. Coachability, obviously, is one element of self-awareness. Knowing about your unique ability and the unique abilities of others.
Playing well with others.
Yeah, but that appreciation of where your skills and unique abilities start and stop, and where you either desperately need other people or you're ready for other people. And I think a lot of the conversation, even recently, about who, not how, I think talks directly to this mindset, which is, are you self-aware of your own unique abilities, the unique abilities of others, so you can constantly improve your own capabilities and the company's capabilities.
Yeah. You were talking, you know, that some people come factory equipped with this, but some people are just waking up and then they have the aspiration. In your experience, you know, of the health entrepreneurs that you have that are spread all over the planet, have you seen anyone who was really at just the aspirational level on the scorecard? So column two, they were frustrated, but they really wanted to be in column four, that really made the most progress of anyone once they came into your coaching, you know, the structures and the coaching structures that you have for taking them to be a very significant health service entity on the planet. They're making a huge impact. But have you seen anyone who got kind of a low score, but then just really rocketed through the numbers and got up to the top level very, very quickly?
Yes. The answer is not only have I, but I think I'd almost categorize them into two different camps. One is people who just never were pushed to reflect on how much they talk rather than listen. And just being honest about it, people who just weren't even cued into the fact that they're always talking, not listening, and that they're really not being self-aware, or they're not self-aware and coachable. So there's just a blissfully ignorant entrepreneur who didn't realize it. And as soon as you even have the conversation, go over the scorecard, it's like, you know, the world changes. And I think that those are the ones I enjoy seeing, because you can almost see it in the course of a matter of minutes in the conversation, where they just are like, oh my God. They feel like, thanks for telling me I was acting that way. I had no idea. It was not intentional. No one's ever said that to me, or I've never heard it this way, or maybe I wasn't ready and I am right now. So there's just a blissfully ignorant that come into it. And as soon as you share it, it becomes clear as day to them.
One of the things that really strikes me about that type of individual, they actually have a fair amount of personal confidence. that they can just almost correct themselves in public, you know. And
yeah.
It's almost they have the ability to get outside of themselves and say, God, what a schmuck, you know. And they don't feel a shame or embarrassment or they want to hide it at all. They just feel, oh my gosh, you know, I thought the world was black and white and it's actually Technicolor with Dolby sound. And I just woke up to this fact. And it really strikes me, I get a feeling that for some reason, I've been conscious of it because, you know, I've been around for parts of 8 decades now, that there are people who kind of get frozen in adolescence and they can be 40 or 50 years old, but emotionally and psychologically, they're still adolescents. And what I mean by this is they haven't come to grips with the fact that there's actually a real world outside of them. And that when the real world gives you feedback, they say, well, you know, I'm just being picked on, you know, and things are screwing up and everything else. Or the person says, whoa, I just got a reality check from the outside world. And I count that as maturity when you get really great feedback from the outside world and you internalize it immediately and you adjust your behavior to reflect that your new recognition and your new acceptance of this outside reality.
Yeah.
I think about you and your situation. You, on the one side, you got this whole community of really, really significant investment money from really significant players, individual players, institutional players around the world. And that's an amazing scorecard thing for you. And the other thing is you've got this really rapidly expanding network of very significant healthcare innovators and entrepreneurs out there, and there's real metrics for both of those worlds, and they've been growing exponentially for you. But I got to believe that just on the personal level, when you come across and you've been instrumental in waking a person up and then giving them a track to run on, that's got to be kind of the biggest emotional reward that you actually get in what you do.
Well, when you describe it that way, of course. Yeah. I mean, the collaborations that, you know, we talk about in Game Changer, where there's an arrow on the left and an arrow on the right and a big arrow in the middle. It's interesting because when I think about it, I've thought about it, I should say, where we're one of the small arrows on the right and the entrepreneur is a small arrow on the left. And together, the middle arrow is a collaboration to achieve a health moonshot, right?
Yeah.
Then I look at it and go, oh, wow, it's an entrepreneur is on the left and their company is on the right. And an actual real moonshot is where an entrepreneur knows how to collaborate with their company and all the people involved with their company to achieve it. Now you add a layer in here of investors and partners. And as you describe that, you know, I think about, we just recently announced the close of our second fund to invest in health transformers and have a lot of, as you just mentioned, some really important, very committed entrepreneur-led, by the way, entrepreneur-led organizations, brands like Novartis that are committed to collaborating with entrepreneurs. And we're actually almost creating self-awareness at the organizational level of how important collaboration is, not ownership to squash, but collaboration to work together. It is thrilling to be in a daily engagement with people that is constantly holding just mirrors up sometimes, or, you know, being able to share something like we talk about this scorecard. I use this scorecard, if not multiple times a day, but now through my team and I think through the community, it's probably being used hundreds of times a day is what I imagine.
Yeah.
And I think it is incredibly thrilling that that has now become a conversation that's multiplied so many times. And so, yes, so it is thrilling, but until you described it that way, I don't think I felt that same thing, but I do feel really good about it. And I actually feel like we're just getting started on it. So
it's very, very interesting. In my podcast series with Peter Diamandis, 2 or 3 ago, I said, Peter, you know, I've been talking to you for 6 or 7 years now, and I see a kind of a global reality forming that there's 2 huge exponentials in the world that aren't really connected to each other. One of them is technology, obviously, and everybody talks about the exponential growth and acceleration of technology. But I said human teamwork is also an incredible exponential, but it doesn't show up on dials the same way. So it's harder for people to actually understand the exponential expansion that happens in human teamwork. And these two exponentials are not connected to each other. One of the things I've noticed about technology is it doesn't coach you how to use it. You know, like, it's not self-explanatory, you know, the technology isn't. And teamwork is basically, they don't really explain their teamwork to the outside world. And I said, you know, there's a new reality in the middle. And I believe this is the number one industry of the 21st century, and it's coaching. And it's coaching that bridges technology with teamwork. He said, Peter, you know, we'll go away and think about it and everything. And I said this to Peter, you're at your best when you are really, truly coaching and getting entrepreneurs and their teams how to think about technology and how technology can be used. You're a pure coach when you do that and when you bring your convergences up on stage. And I mean, the knockout one he had last January was on longevity, and he had five cutting edge, and he was just sitting there, and Peter was, you know, he was translating in some cases with the audience.
Connecting the dots, yeah.
I was just sitting there marveling at his coaching ability of making people, in some cases, they were kind of speaking ancient Greek to people, and Peter was just giving them a street-level translation of what this meant in their entrepreneurial lives. So my feeling is that humans now are freed up from a lot of stuff, and they can be intermediaries between one exponential world and another exponential world. And it seems to me that that's falling into your area, because you have teams out there, your Startup Health are all teams, and you're showing them how to be better teams. And you're actually showing the investors how to be better teams in relationship to these investments.
Yeah, it's not natural for a lot of big organizations to collaborate with entrepreneurs effectively. A lot of times the cultural and the mindset and the other differences are so large that it rarely works. But I think there's a commitment from the CEOs, and that's kind of one of our filters when we kind of built this community of investors, is really making sure that we work with the CEOs of these big multi-hundred billion dollar businesses to make sure there's a commitment at the top to collaborate with entrepreneurs and to allow the honest self-awareness, and this is, comes back to the mindset, to bring out unlimited possibility or seemingly what might have not been visible in the beginning, and be open to what might transpire by just sharing and openly discussing what their needs are. And it's been an interesting kind of journey, I think, over the past year, as we've both met with and filtered so many different potential investors for our fund to make sure that they were all committed to entrepreneurs who are not only committed themselves to achieving health moonshots, but have the mindset to achieve health moonshots. So self-awareness, to me, especially as a mindset, becomes one of those that without it, or without the ambition to have it, I think you're kind of dead in the water, because you're pretty annoying to work with.
Yeah.
And you're not going to find too many people, whether they be employees who you pay to work for you, or partners who you want to collaborate with, or investors or customers or others that are in your small orbit of relationships, to want to spend a lot of time with you. I think it's one of those repellents, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Will repel all of the very people you're trying to attract.
Last couple of weeks, I had about 4 10-times workshops. You know, I just dropped a comment and it got a lot of conversation. I said, you know, one of the things that has really been responsible for our success in terms of building Strategic Coach as a company is that Babs and I never use the word cost in relationship to human beings. It's pure investment. We look at human beings as investment. And I said, you know, we've got 130 team members, but 340 haven't made the cut over the, you know, we're 30 years next year, 30 years as the program. And I said, but I don't look them at the cost. They're just not a good investment. And when you're talking about the self-awareness, I would say that that would be, you know, I'm just waking up from your using this as a mindset that they either grow or they go. You know, we have a term. And I said, the dividing line is if they're self-aware. I'm bringing your term into the conversation here.
Yeah.
But if you think about investments, let's talk about like a stock, you're investing in a stock. You're not investing in the value of the stock right now. You're investing in what you think the value of the stock will be down the road. You know, and when you come across a person with no self-awareness, you say, this is as good as it's going to get. It's just going to get worse in the future. Conversely, if they're self-aware, you say, I bet they're worth a lot more a year from now. I bet they're worth a lot because I know they have the capability to really grow.
Yeah. So I talked about the two kinds of people that I noticed self-awareness as a catalyst for growth. One I described as the one who just wasn't aware of not being self-aware, right? Like you just opened up their eyes and you see it instantly. The other is something that really didn't work and stung really hard, whether it was the business failed, the partnership failed, the customer resigned themselves, the investor didn't invest any more money, whatever it might be. But something that was so transformative that made them reflect that, holy crap, this doesn't work or won't work anymore. And so this shock to the system, if you will, can also shock people into a transformation in self-awareness, which is like, by the way, it could be career-wise, they've just been doing it their whole life, and then they hit a brick wall, and all of a sudden they become self-aware or are really finally aware that all these years, if I reverse engineer and think about everything I've done, there's a string of things that I now see very obviously. So those two situations, I think, time and time again are playing out every day that make me completely committed to not only leaving this as a major mindset filter, but actually one that opens up fascinating conversations about people who are truly reflective about where their strengths and weaknesses are.
Yeah. Well, it's a great, you know, I mean, I'm so enjoying somebody else's scorecard. You know, I get a thrill when I see somebody's entire, you know, it's kind of like the mindset field, if you talk about a scorecard, you know, when I see someone who has thought through the entire mindset geography, you know, that includes their product offering to the marketplace, who the target audience is, and the other thing, the economy of time that they have to use to sort out people really fast. You know, like, I can't afford 3 months of not knowing how this person really is and how they look at the world. I've got to get it really, really upfront and really fast. What the mindset scorecard gives me has to be very, very decisive. It's a yes or a no right off the bat.
And so that other people can replicate it too. So if I'm the only person filtering and this is what's going on in my head, but nobody on my team can use the same filter, then it's a fail.
So. Okay. So, Steve, you know, just summing up here, there are game changers listening to this. There are people who would like to take their game to a higher level. Three things from this one mindset of self-awareness that you can sort of give them as takeaway points. What would you say they are?
I think the first is really the question of, do you talk more than you listen? Or do you listen more than you talk? Either you or someone in one of the workshops mentioned at one point this idea of two ears and one mouth.
In that proportion.
And that's kind of like, you know, that where does your bread go and where does your drink go, you know, thing that you can do anytime to go, which is my bread and which is my drink? And you kind of in your mind or kind of do this and do that, right? I actually use the idea that two ears and one mouth thing to always remember that. And it's kind of one of those things. It's like a little trick, even though it's obviously not difficult to remember, but it's one of those things that you just kind of go, if you're sitting in a room and you're doing a lot of the talking, there's a problem.
Number two?
I think number two would probably be something that I've now gone on 20 years doing, which is this, what is your unique ability and what is your excellent, competent, and incompetent activities? And in particular, more so that you can constantly size up not only how you're doing and where you need help, but looking around the team in a collaboration or any activity, are you aware of where your expertise is and isn't, and where you really are and should rely and need to rely on other people? And so that unique ability, continue pruning, curating, refining, iterating, I think is just never, ever over. As you and I were just talking about, you just did another iteration of yours. So I think that unique ability awareness is a big piece. And I think the other piece here I would probably say is to check in with the people closest to you and just see if you're ready and willing to ask the question of whether they think you're self-aware. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way of seeing somebody self-aware is go, I don't need to do that. And all of a sudden, bingo.
Yeah. Well, so it's great. This was terrific. Can you just give me a little hint of what number six is so we can do a little trailer here?
Sure. Healthy habits.
Healthy
habits. And how important it is not just to look good and feel good, but to make good decisions and to be able to stay in the game.
Great. Steve, thanks a lot. For everybody listening here, we have many other podcasts with Steve and myself on the whole subject of game changer jumps. And this has been a terrific one. So Steve, thanks a lot. Looking forward to the next episode.
Thanks, Dan. Great seeing you.